it is important that just saving the water itself and through the technologies will not necessarily increase the conservation of the water.
Welcome to GAO's Watchdog Report, your source for news and information from the U.S. Government Accountability Office. I'm Matt Oldham. Irrigated agriculture accounts for more than 40% of freshwater use in the United States. And in some areas of the country, demand for freshwater outpaces what is naturally available. With me is Tim Persons, Managing Director for GAO's Science, Technology Assessment, and Analytics team. And we're going to talk about a GAO study looking at different irrigation technologies and practices and how they relate to water scarcity. Thanks for joining me, Tim.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
First off, water scarcity. How important of an issue is this?
Undoubtedly a very important issue, especially you've heard the all politics are local type statement. This is, you know, water issues are definitely local. So as you know, the U.S. is a diverse country in terms of its geology, geography, and climate and regions and so on. And so massive amounts of the country, particularly in the West, although we're seeing some drought stress in the Southeast and others, is not simply a Western issue. It is an agricultural issue, but definitely the Western states dominate this naturally because it's so arid, it's dry, again, different temperatures and things, and yet there's so many of the Western states are in the agricultural economy, and this is very pressing. So, yeah, water stress has been felt in to greater or lesser extent across these various regions, and that's why we needed to do this study.
So what types of technologies and practices does the study cover?
So the main focus of this ultimately went down to irrigation, and then out of irrigation, or the various forms of irrigation. Irrigation has been around a while, but the way in which you irrigate, there's the conventional gravity where you just drip things on there, but there's also more pressure-based systems that spray. Think of like a spray nozzle and a spray bottle. The way the water is dispensed may be able to yield greater crop benefit for less resource. So that's more crop per drop, as the saying goes. Mm. So that's particularly one particular area. But also I think the idea of just good practices in terms of scheduling on those technologies, the when would you do it? And then I think another key area that is more of an enabling technology in this, though, is just a lot of this being driven by data science, or maybe the so-called datafication of things, having better sensors out there, weather information and things, which would inform the scheduling, which would then inform how you do your irrigation and how you apply the water to the crop from an irrigation.
So does that mean we can expect these new technologies or these new practices will lead to more efficient water use?
So that's a great point. And one of the things that we've found in this particular study is that in general, that might sound like an attractive outcome or a logical way of thinking initially. However, it is important that just saving the water itself and through the technologies will not necessarily increase the conservation of the water.
So it sounds like with these new technologies and practices we're talking about, things like scheduling changes or data-driven sensors, that individuals or farmers may be able to use water more efficiently, but that doesn't necessarily mean there is a net improvement on water scarcity issues. So Tim, does the study look at the likelihood of farmers adopting some of these new technologies and practices in the interest of using less water or conserving more water?
It does. And one of the things that we found was that the farmers aren't necessarily pursuing technologies just for the sake of conservation. Mm-hmm. That is one of the things that policymakers may want to incentivize if the goal is to recharge or to try and, again, have your cake and eat it too from a water perspective to do that. But conservation itself isn't what's driving that.
Tim, you had mentioned information that could be helpful for policymakers. Was there anything else in this report that may be helpful for policymakers?
Sure. I think the two key policy options that we're presenting in this report are that our policymakers could promote various programs or leveraging systems to look at the use of more efficient irrigation technology and practices and think about or rethink irrigation. The second area was this promotion of this precision ag technologies. There's a tremendous amount of weather data and computational power now available if you had the broadband access. You can think about cloud computing and things as a key resource. You can even compute advanced things and better schedule, better apply your water, but you need more precision ag technologies and more sensors like soil moisture sensors and even more refined weather stations to get greater resolution even down to the farm level.
So then, as always, the last question, what is the bottom line of this report?
I think that this is a two-part thing. I think promoting technologies, promoting water efficiency is good. The promotion also needs to be, the second part of it is included with incentives for actually conserving the water. How do we, again, do the farming better and with less resource and yet still equivalent, if not greater outcome, and yet still save the water where it's needed?
Tim Persons was talking about a GAO study on the water use implications for different technologies and practices in irrigated agriculture. Thank you for your time, Tim.
Thanks, Matt.
And thank you for listening to The Watchdog Report. To hear more podcasts, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. For more from the Congressional Watchdog, the U.S. Government Accountability Office, visit us at gao.gov.